All right, and now we will open up to public comments before we get into the gate discussion. Any public comments about anything else? But you'll be able to speak during the gate discussion as well. Anything? Anyone? All right, so we'll close public comments for general public comments, and we'll open up for main entrance discussion, which the way I'd like to do real quickly is to allow the board to speak just a little bit, and then we can, yeah, I don't know why we can't just go back and forth, which I'm perfectly comfortable with. So just to recap for those who weren't here at the last discussion we had, we talked about, John briefly talked about all the different plans that the architects were asked to show us, the, you know, conceptual drawings of them. And so there were drawings that showed breaking through the wall, which we had asked them because there was, you know, audience and residents that wanted to see what it would look like. There is one of just showing the gatehouse in the center. There is one showing doing a circular, pushing the booth back and having extra lanes picked up on both of them and diverting traffic, one through the parking lot of St. Mary's, it looks like, over there. So we had five different, approximately, versions of it. Some pretty obvious that were not as favorable as others, but the beauty of it was that we were able to see on paper what some of these would all look like. And we had many comments. I would say the strongest comments were, I would say the majority of the audience did not, the residents did not like breaking through the wall. The other was, I would say the majority of the residents did not like the parking lot at St. Mary's. And, you know, kind of diverting traffic in the schemes that are showing that. The office, we had an officer speak and a couple of gate guards spoke. And they spoke about how they felt very safe in the keep. And they'd like to stay in the keep. But they missed the day-to-day contact with the residents right there. You know, that emotional contact, and also just the mere fact of seeing, you know, right into the vehicle, etc. The officer also stated that, with that said, he would have, as an officer, more reaction time staying in the keep, because if it was someone that was undesirable trying to enter the park, reaction time, because of the space limitations inside the booth, if you were having to pull a weapon or do anything, they're right on you at that point. Whereas in the keep, there would be more of a distance for you to have reaction time. That was a comment. Another comment was to make the intercom system better, which is obviously what we're looking at doing. The one that's in place now is temporary, just kind of rigged up with the wires that have been damaged just to have something. We would do virtual imaging if we were to be in the keep. That way they could see you, you could see them. Cameras to be able to look into vehicles as well, look into trucks. That's one of our biggest issues that one of the gate guards said was, when a truck comes in and they say they are a truck full of dirt, you really don't know what's inside that truck because we don't have the capability of stepping up and looking inside the truck. So, you know, we'll have to think about those measures. They like the parking lot in back of the keep. There's like an area in the back of the keep that we would use for cars, which would solve a couple of problems. If you had a prisoner that you were needing to bring into a holding area, we could actually access a door in the back of the keep that could be a secured place, and they would never be in contact with a gate guard or any other body except for them and the officer. There were comments that they liked seeing police cars in the front because having the presence and the appearance of knowing police are there, they would like to see one or two cars always parked in the front of the park for the appearance sake. There was discussion of the electronics, etc., that needed to, because of weather, they get weathered and operations don't work perfectly well. So there needs to be something in the center, no matter what we do, to protect all the electronics that go in, especially if we're investing into camera systems and intercom systems and visual things like that. So you have to have that. So there were lots of different discussions. They liked the double arms of exiting with an arm as well as entering with an arm, because it'll slow people down, because everyone pretty much agreed that everyone exits out pretty fast. And if you're having a crosswalk there, Going back and forth of the two buildings, it's an accident that can happen very easily. So that would slow people down. Having material change on the road right there between the two buildings would also help. You know, feeling that difference of material on the ground was part of the discussion. Did I miss anything, gentlemen? Anything else?
Just a nuance, I think. I mean, I'd say that the two other elements that I sort of took away was that there was a feeling that people liked interaction. It didn't necessarily have to be human interaction with the gate, with the, you know, with the booth, but there was a feeling that interaction is beneficial. So I think one of the challenges we have is to see if we're not going with a man booth, is to see whether the, you know, the electronics are really there today for that kind of feeling. Secondly, the you know, need to make sure that architecturally, and I'm an architectural ignoramus, I mean, that in the first instance, that whatever we do there really is something that's benefiting, mm-hmm. you know, those two magnificent structures that are there.
Anything else?
I was going to say, I thought Sheen or someone was going to come across with the original picture of what it originally looked like, and we were going to sort of, you know,
to the landscaping.
An examination of that,
right? Right. Someone had mentioned there's an original landscape plan that was done, that was found, that I think Susan Goodfellow has it, and Chu Yen Hempel was going to look into that, of that landscaping, so we could address all of that as well.
So we should not forget to get that.
Right.
Because that could, you know, sway me on whether or not the guardwood should go right in the middle where it mm-hmm. is, where it was, or be moved back a bit.
Right.
Depending on how we want to achieve that historic look.
Right.
Depending on what that looks like.
Power line wise, John Ledwith and I have already been meeting with ONR about moving the power lines in the front for several reasons. A safety issue, because vehicles have gotten taller, and we find that the clearing of the power lines, as they also start sagging a little bit, become an interesting factor because it's high voltage wires that are there. So ONR has come up with a plan to reroute them out of the front gate area. You can't bury them, because you can't bury high tension wires only partially and then go back up with them. They either all have to be buried or not. So they've been meeting with John and I, like I said, and are, you know, coming up with the amounts of money for that, and that's something that would be part of the project. And that would go back to, if you notice on the second board here, there's a photograph of the original village originally, and there are no power lines or anything in the front. So we would, you know, be achieving that, to have that. And then driving through would take away that going under it. Mm-hmm. And we also always have issues that if any repair work ever has to happen on the buildings, it's really difficult to, you know, do certain things without having to not just boot it anymore, but you have to relocate power, and the ONR has to come in. There's all sorts of protective measures that have to come in. And honestly, even though you know it's off, it's still a little unsettling to be up there, I'm sure, working and seeing those lines right next, I mean, literally right on you. So I think from a safety standpoint, it would be just smart to do that. No matter what we do anyway, we'll be doing that. Anything else?
Yeah, I think it's important to state that what was there in the past was built in 1962 on or about, is not currently compliant with the safety laws, the labor laws. It wasn't bulletproof. It had a sliding door. So the type of interaction that we've all grown to accustom and love in the past 20, 30 years is not going to be there anymore. There's not going to be a sliding door that somebody can just do harm to our gate guards.
They're unarmed, and they're unarmed.
Saying that one way or another.
Right.
But it's going to have to be behind bulletproof glass and a way that they can be safe. So in the bulletproof craft might have to have a reflective finish to it, so you are really looking at a reflection of yourself. You're not going to be saying hello to Denise every time you walk. Well, you might be, but it's going to be over an intercom system. Either way, whether Denise is in the booth or Denise is in the heat. So I think it's important to say, because a lot of people are thinking, oh, let's have what we used to have and that type of interaction. The type of interaction is not allowed anymore. not with what's going on out there. Our gate guards need, you know, their safety needs to come first, and labor laws won't allow it.
What's interesting, I met with the labor and insurance through this whole process, and their number one comment is always, what are you doing for their safety? Can someone, you know, come on them? Why are they entering the doors so freely? So, you know, we're making sure the doors now are key punched in to get to them. They all will be that way because that's how it has to be. I mean, we don't have a choice for that. If they are behind the booth, there is, like you said, it was a window that they had turned sideways to open and close. I mean, there was just no safety factor there at all. So that's why they're feeling right now, they do have this sense of relief that they have a lot more being considered about their safety. The gentleman came from the insurance company to look at what we've done so far, and he only had, you know, two really minor comments, but he said everything that they had recommended was being done, and so they were very happy with that right now. So that was very good news that we had gotten that clean belt. He gave me a couple of suggestions that were things that we had already talked about, but other than that, it was good.
Safety features in the keep?
Yeah, in the keep. And those we would have to, if we did it in the booth, we'd have to implement the same things in the booth. It could not be single pane glass. It could not just be double pane glass. It couldn't be slight. You wouldn't be able to, like, hand Denise something in your hand anymore. It has to go through a special chute. There can be no physical way that they could grab someone and do something to them.
Or hurt them other ways.
And hurt them. No. So, you know, unfortunately, times are not, you know, as they were 50 years ago, 60 years ago, you know, it's changed. The other thing is, for the bar process and the planning board, we don't have to abide by the different agencies in the village, but what we're going to do is, Alan is a liaison to the bar, and we're going to have Denise as, you know, one of the gate guards be part of the process, an officer be part of the process, or the new, if we get a part-time chief, he'll be part of it, which is very critical because of all the safety factors that have to go into play. Alan will be part of it, myself, John Ledwith. We'll have someone from the bar that's part of the process for that, and then they can be the liaison to the bar. Planning board-wise, I don't think anything that we'll be doing has planning board need, but if it does, you know, we'll definitely, you know, speak with them as well for any input. Other than that, Alan, do you have anything?
No, I think we, given people showed up, let's hear what they have to say.
Yes.